The thoughts, views, and opinions expressed on Group Chat are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of Buffalo Toronto Public Media, its leadership, or its affiliates. Enjoy the show.
From the music we dance to the fashion we wear, the entertainment we love, LGBTQ plus culture has helped shape modern pop culture in many ways that people don't even realize. Today we're celebrating the impact, the history, and the voices behind it all. So, welcome to the chat. I'm Bentley, and we have one of your favorite returning guests as a co-host today, Donny Kutzbach, owner of Town Ballroom, Funtime Presents, co-owner, Outer Harbor Live. You do a little bit of everything.
A little bit of a lot.
Don't be nervous. Well, actually, so... Charles, of course, is here. Nyla is not here, but she has not had the baby yet. Charles and I kind of made her stay home.
We did.
She's very close. She's out walking, I think, right now and watching us. I swore during the Knicks game last night with all the texts that she was going to have that baby. I was like, you need to stay calm. You're supposed to be calm right now. So, Nyla's doing great, healthy. Just probably going to go earlier than Charles expected.
I know. I was talking about it this morning. I was like, you know, I'm a little upset if, you know, the baby does come next week. That's the projective time that she's saying.
Yeah.
Y'all guys know I want it June 19th, but that's doesn't look like
looks
that.
Like it's good. Well, she was originally due July 4th.
She was.
So then it was, okay, it's going to be earlier. So then Charles was thinking June 19th, but now...
It's only right, because if the baby was going to be... If the due date was July 4th, let's really... I think the baby's like, you know what? I don't want to be born on the 4th of July. So let's just do one better. Let's do a Juneteenth.
Yep.
So...
Yeah, I think by then she might be delivering a 20-pound baby, so I think thinking a little bit sooner. So, yes, we miss you, Nayla, but we're making you stay home. And Donny is going to be here with us for a few episodes. Yeah. And so, Donny, as you know, we do State of the Scroll with Charles. Charles kind of throws stuff at us that's happening in pop culture. And, you know... Sometimes he throws us some curveballs, but Charles?
I do throw curveballs. I do throw them a lot. But before I go any further, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe to this channel right here. So we had a lot going on over the weekend, just alone, in the world of hip hop. Jay-Z was at the Roots Picnic. It was something that we talked about a little bit. And it was his first performance since 2023. He was at the Louis Vuitton performance. And he stole the show with his epic freestyle. Jay-Z does freestyles when he does his performances. And he... had a lot to get off his chest. He addressed a lot of things that people have been saying. He addressed the attorney, Tony Busby, his former business partner, Dame Dash, Kanye West, Nicki Minaj, just to name a few. But the one that everyone seems to be talking about is Drake. Because Drake did diss him during his Iceman album with some lines, and Jay-Z put him in his place, pretty much. But Jay-Z is also scheduled to perform in July as he will be celebrating the 30-year anniversary of his debut album. And that is the first night. And then the second night, he is celebrating 20 years of the Blueprint album. And then he has an extra inning show for the third night.
So if you missed the last episode, it was about mental health and pop culture, and we did address that Drake might be a little bit of a trigger for Charles.
A little bit.
But then we got this performance, and I think, you know, it settled you a little bit. You're like, see, this is what I'm trying to say.
Jay-Z is he's 1A in my category. And to see, first off, to see him come out and no one knew it was actually him because he took his locks out and no one knew it was him because he just had all his hair was just there. And for him to basically just let everybody know, I've been listening and watching what people have been saying about him, because they've been dragging Jay-Z's name in the mud for years now with Busby and his lawsuits that he was trying to throw out there at Jay-Z, to Nicki Minaj and all the stuff she's been tweeting about, Kanye West tweeting stuff too, Dame Dash. He said, I had enough. Let me remind you guys who I am. So
yeah. I like that assassin approach, that quiet.
And doing it his way. I think what's interesting to me too was the feedback that came and the pushback, the ageism in hip hop, because Jay is 60. And so he's definitely on the old head side. Mm-hmm. And to hear what the younger artists were saying, and there was a mixed bag, but a lot of people were like, you know, he's still the best.
Yeah. Like you can't, I always say that he is the Michael Jordan of hip hop. Like he's there. And sometimes he got to just remind people, like, this is who I am. But I did notice, like you said, Donnie, there is that sense of, you could tell generations. Mm. You could tell. Like my intern, sorry, I'm calling you out, Nina, but she was saying, like, when was the last time Jay-Z was hot? And I was like, okay. Like, she's like, who listens to him? And I said, okay. Like, I get it. And you're from a generation that the only time you've heard of Jay-Z is the Lemonade Beyonce album. That's the only time you really know about him. But he's planning on reminding people.
Well, and, you know, they always say you never punch down. So all these people that are maybe not at his level trying to punch up, like, that is for attention. That's like, you're going to get Jay-Z to mention you, mm-hmm. you know? And they do it for a reason. And he, you know, he laid low and then he was like, but wait.
Let me remind you on who I am. So
and who's listening? You look and there's still billions and billions of streams and streaming service, which has only existed, you know, in North America for whatever, 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. And but Jay's got billions of streams. How many streams does 99 Problems have? You know, it's like, right. People are listening. People are still listening. People were listening. People are listening. And the fact that he can still make that kind of a ripple in the greater culture right now, it kind of says a lot.
Yeah, it definitely does. So moving from music for just a second to a little controversy in sports, in the NFL, Donnie, you actually replied to my story on this when I mentioned this individual. New York Giants quarterback Jackson Dart made headlines because he was recently at a rally and he introduced Donald Trump. And that seemed to spark some outrage. People were saying things. One of his teammates called him out because he happens to be a black man. He happens to be Muslim, calls him out for it. And there just seems to be this big divide where you have, once again, sports and politics colliding. I laughed at it because I said, you know, you're seeing that a lot of people are being like, there's nothing wrong with what Jackson Dart did. You know, he has a history with politics, things like that. And anybody that knows me knows whenever there's this line between politics and sports, I have to go bring up the reason why I stopped watching NFL for a while, which was Colin Kaepernick and how he took a peaceful protest and everybody was up in arms about it. And now people are like, oh, let's leave Jackson Dart alone. So
did Jackson Dart get to see the UFC ring or anything? Or, you know, can we talk the roller coaster on the White House lawn?
Listen, we all knew Jackson Dart was a MAGA guy. We've all known that. So none of this is a surprise. But I think the big surprise is just sort of when the New York Giants decide to draft you and kind of make you, you know, QB1 potentially.
Mm-hmm.
You maybe want to back off of that kind of thing. Yeah. But I guess he's not the kind of guy who does that. And it's, you know, it's going to be a locker room thing probably amongst other players. And
oh.
Well, one of the other big things that they were saying is how the culture, the hip hop culture, is saying like, oh, you're just a vulture, because if you ever seen Jackson Dart and you see him celebrate, you see him with his teammates, he does a lot of things that are within the hip hop world. So you want to do it because it's like the cool thing to do. Everyone's doing it, so you want to be a part of it. But then you show that you have aligned yourself with someone who is clearly has a agenda to get rid of the culture that mm-hmm. is hip hop.
You could start hanging out with Vanilla Ice. I mean,
and the Ninja Turtles.
Wait.
Speaking of Vanilla Ice.
What, can
back
we
to
not?
Music.
I mean, again, talk about people needing to find a way to be relevant. Like, when's the last time we even knew what he was doing?
Well, he will be doing something. I don't know if this concert is still taking place, but he was announced to be in the Freedom 250 concert.
He's the last one left, I think. Him and
Freedom Williams.
Is Freedom
and CC Music Factory?
No, they all are saying they're not doing it.
Okay, I saw he was on his toilet saying he's gonna do it.
No, oh, really? Yeah. I didn't know. I know.
He did, but it's notable people: Vanilla Ice, Milli Vanilli, one of them.
Nope.
The Commodores
Milli backed out.
Morris Day and the Times.
Out.
Brent
out.
Michaels. But since then. Majority of those people have backed out except for Vanilla Ice.
And there's one more.
Yeah.
I can picture.
It was Freedom Williams. I thought Freedom Williams was still Freedom Williams and
someone fact check that?
Vanilla Ice, yeah.
Because you're going to laugh. I know.
Am I going to laugh?
Yeah.
And whichever Milli Vanilli lip sync.
Flo Rida.
Flo Rida, yes. I knew there was a Florida connection.
He's got his two songs he's going to do.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't get it. I really don't. I get that he's trying, like, this is, and then Trump apparently said he was canceling it because...
Because nobody's there. Nobody's going to go. They don't have any performers.
You got Vanilla Ice.
I mean, you've done shows with Vanilla Ice back in the day.
I have. I saw where the arena used to be right over here, the Odd, you know, 1,000 feet from where we're doing this right now. I saw him open for MC Hammer and En Vogue. That's how old I am. But that was, you know.
That was the last time he mattered.
That was the last. He was massively relevant. People were more excited about seeing him. Some people were more excited about seeing him than seeing MC Hammer, who was at his peak. But yeah, I have done shows with Vanilla Ice, and it's not spectacular. It's not the greatest show you're ever going to see. You'll hear some songs you know, but it's not going to like change your life.
Did he at least perform Go Ninja?
Oh, of course.
Okay, because
that should be in the contract that he has to play that.
Is that a full song? I just know, like...
That's when he played at Mar-a-Lago. He had people in rubber Ninja Turtle. That's what I was saying, he had people in rubber Ninja Turtle suits out there dancing with him.
Oh, my... We are living in the Matrix.
Yeah.
None of this is real.
Why do they
got to
take Ninja Turtles?
None of this is real. Speaking of none of this is real, New York Times. Now... A couple episodes ago, the poetry episode, we discussed that New York Times released their list of the 30 greatest living American songwriters, right? And we had our moment. Me and Nayla had our moment because we were sitting there trying to figure out why Young Thug was on this list. But New York Times did this with the Reader's Choice. They released their Reader's Choice of songwriters, and Bob Dylan came in at number one. Stevie Wonder was at number six, Bruce Springsteen, number three, Billy Joel, five, Dolly Parton, eight, Taylor Swift, seven.
Who was number two?
Paul Simon.
Okay. Danny's got it memorized.
I looked at it before we did this.
Willie Nelson, Kendrick Lamar is at 17, Smokey Robinson is 13.
Remember, these are songwriters, though, so they're writing the songs. Because I think that a lot of people don't understand a lot of pop songs that you hear aren't necessarily written by the person that's singing them.
I know, but it's just when I seen the list, I literally wanted a drink.
Well,
I'll take a mocktail.
Yeah, because we keep saying that we want to have a drink on group chat, but then we have other things we have to do after this. Right. So luckily, we have coming up next, we have Andy Crum. You know him as Mr. Mocktail, also founder of Sober 1-6. So he's going to make us a little something to sip on. And we'll also be joined by Leighton Jones. And this is going to be kicking off our Pride Month episode. We'll explain all up next on group chat.
Public media keeps our community talking and thinking together. Hear perspectives that matter on BTPM NPR. Experience meaningful stories on BTPM PBS. Enjoy performances that connect us on BTPM Classical and discover new voices on BTPM The Bridge. These are conversations that shape our region and open our world. This is Public Media. Visit btpm.org.
Welcome back to the chat, Bentley, Donnie Kutzbach. So Donnie is here as our co-host today. You know him from being on the chat before, co-owner of Town Ballroom, Funtime Presents, Outer Harbor Live concert series. You do that amongst other things, but also has a little bit of a pop culture knowledge, journalism background in the middle of it all. So thank you for filling in for Nayila, who has not had her baby yet, but we're putting her on bed rest. Charles is here, and we're so excited to start this segment off with, a little bit of interactive mocktail action here. So Andy Crum, you know him as Mr. Mocktail, also owner of Sober 1-6, is going to make us a little beverage here to sip on. Andy, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Andy, you explained this as something that you, it's easy for all of us to make, or it's also something you can order if you're out at a bar and they maybe don't have mocktail or non-alcoholic options that, that you're interested in.
Yeah. So I, when I first got sober, there was not a lot of options 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. So when I went out, I was like, well, what can I drink and hold that I still feel like just as a tasty beverage, but the bartender can just make it anywhere.
Yeah.
So I always had this like go-to in my pocket, just in case they did not have any options at the bars.
Okay. So let us know what you're making, because we also have an audio listening audience.
Oh,
so
okay.
Ingredients as you're...
So this is honestly just like three or four ingredients. So I always like to start with ginger beer. It gives that just sharp, bitter taste and spice that I think any good drink deserves, because you want something that you have to sip on. You don't want something that you're chugging, because when you go out, you want to prolong the experience as much as you can. So we got ginger beer. The next base would be any sort of juice. I like pineapple juice, but today we have grapefruit juice, again, with just that like bitter, tart feel. And then you don't spill it like I did.
That's okay. I think that was behind the scenes. I think it looks good.
So we get some sort of juice. You got your spice with the ginger. I have a lime here, so you can squeeze some lime juice in it. There you go. And then you do your little garnish.
That looks very refreshing for the summer, too.
Yeah.
And I know, Danny, when he was setting up, you were complimenting him on his ginger beer choice.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, yes, yes.
You have to have a good ginger beer, right? That makes the difference.
Absolutely.
Any kind of beverage, alcoholic or non-alcoholic.
Absolutely. So, yeah, so this is just a go-to. You can have this at home, too. You can make all the ingredients. It's just easy. Any grocery store has them. Now grocery stores have actual non-alcoholic beverage options. They have bitters you can throw in there. There's just so much to play with, which is really fun, like if you're having a party. But yeah, if you're going out, just get ginger beer or ginger ale, some sort of juice, lime, and you're good to go.
Look at that. Well, as you're finishing that up, you definitely need to bring your Pridechella poster
Absolutely.
Here because I do know that you have a great non-alcoholic mocktail menu for that. And we're also going to be talking to you about the event you just got to do for Heated Rivalry in New York City. So, yes.
I got the nails on.
I'm so excited. Andy's making something for us all. I'm interested to see what Charles thinks. Charles is super picky. So if you ever see our coffee lists in the morning, she would always... he would always give Nayla these like long ingredients lists for his iced coffee. So we shall see. But I also want to welcome to the chat Leighton Jones. Hi Leighton, how's it going? Now, you know, Charles, you've done some stuff with What's Next, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And you are a communications consultant, also a dance instructor, and another person that wears many hats. So thank you for coming in. Is Dance Hall Experience, is that your
brand? This is actually my merch
for
my dance class. It's called Lee J's Dance Hall Class.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for having me.
It's a
pleasure to be here, and I do hold many hats.
Don't we all? So, you know, a lot of this episode is around the entertainment aspect and arts and culture. And I know both of you have been in this realm. And not just this month, like year round. I think that's the important thing to talk about.
Yes.
Leighton, what got you into what you're doing now? What inspired you? What has the journey been, especially in your dance teaching?
Well, I am Jamaican. First of all, happy Pride, everyone.
Yay!
I grew up Jamaican.
Oh, thank you, Andy.
Oh, the drinks are coming in, honey. Yes. I can't wait to have mine. But growing up in Jamaica, it was super hard because Jamaica's a homophobic society. So there isn't pride there. Now there is like somewhat of a pride there in recent years, but growing up, there was no love for the LGBTQ plus community. There was always hate, we're going to hell. Mm-hmm. And so I had to like reclaim that because as a child, I was a dancer, right? I did cheerleading, I did gymnastics. So like all of those things, I was feminine in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to reclaim that as a thing that was positive in my life and that I didn't feel shame about. And so I wanted to invest in women's health because I am in nursing in the while I've been in Buffalo.
Wow.
I worked in ECMC's emergency department. And so I left ECMC and I wanted to still provide healthcare in Buffalo. And the way to do that was ensure that people are staying active. And that's doing some type of dance, right? And coming to a space where you can talk to queer people, you can talk to regular residents in the city of Buffalo, and you can move your body in a choreographed way. It's creating the space that we need to have, and it's ensuring that we don't lose the pride that we should have with ourselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All levels of dance instruction?
Absolutely. We start beginner level, but we have, even in my flyers, I try to make sure that people know when they see me doing the splits in the flyer, that's not for them to do.
Okay, because you're pretty high level with that. So that's why I wanted to just double check.
Yes.
Because we won't be doing the splits.
No, I mean, Andy, I don't know. I'm interested to see your dance moves this weekend, but I did not know if that was your level either. But
and in dance hall, you're bringing in a lot of the traditional Jamaican culture and dance with your instruction and your teaching.
Absolutely. I love that you brought that up because that's one of the reclamations, right? You cannot tell me that I can't do this because I'm not a woman, right? Anyone can dance. And I'm ensuring that the women in Buffalo can do it. So either way, it's serving the purpose, right? Yeah. Yes. So it's a very joyous thing. And I'm really happy that it's something that we can do as a community. And you don't have to be attached to the culture to be attached to the dance.
I love that.
Can you explain the dance a little bit that you teach?
Yeah.
The moves?
So for me, I think dance is like, it's really about a full body workout for me, right? And so it's not necessarily the choreography that I want people to learn. It's like repetition of movement and the focus of all body parts. Since I studied the human anatomy, I want to engage your cores. I want to make sure that you're flexible to some capacity because that is important as you grow older, right?
Yeah.
And so I think we have to consistently be proactive about taking care of ourselves. And dancing, you know, take it slow. You wind your waist. You know, you start off slow and then you speed up. You know, you start off with warm up and then you get into choreo and then you cool down. And that's how the flow of my class goes.
I've seen the videos. They're good. They're good. I love it.
You know, this all ties together too, because I know, Andy, we've talked about this in a lot of you establishing Sober 1-6 and the dance parties and all of this kind of stems from the LGBTQ plus community having to do these things almost underground in the history, you know, in history. And then also some of the connotations or some of the labels that were given or you know, the certain spaces that you could be in.
Yeah. So, I mean, I thought it was very intentional for me to create spaces for queer people so that they feel included in spaces that are traditionally like straight as well. So, you know, we're at Sober 1-6, we're like, anyone, however you identify, whether you drink or not, you can come to our events, feel safe. And, you know, you are taking up space there. Like, this is for you. And we intentionally work with venues that understand that and get it, and bars and restaurants that are supportive of the community. And it's very important for me to portray the message of like, no, this is for you. You be as weird as you want. You be as loud as you want. Like, I'm going to be on stage shaking whatever I have and just showing people like you can.
Okay.
Just see it Saturday. You'll see it Saturday. But yeah, no, it's just to feel comfortable in your own skin and, you know, just for everyone, not just the queer community. It's for literally for everybody, you know, because a group of friends is so diverse in, you know, sexual orientation, identity, cultural background. So we just want everyone to feel comfortable in the space. So we just try to simplify it as much as we can and just say, this is a no judgment, no shame zone. And if you're going to do that, there's the door.
Yeah.
Period.
So Donnie, I know you're my co-host, but I need to pick your brain a little bit because you have pretty much read every autobiography, music, anything to do with music. I feel like you're a music historian.
A little bit.
Can you kind of explain a little bit the influence of LGBTQ plus communities, even when driven underground, on pop culture? I mean, obviously we have our you have some of the people that you think of, but this has been like an evolution and a lot of influence has come out of this that people probably don't really realize.
I think queer culture but it's always been an art. I mean, you can go back to Renaissance art. You can go back to the earliest art that there is. And it's always been an underlying thing. And it was always, I don't want to even say snuck in because it was so obvious in some way. If you're looking at classic paintings and things like that, where you're like, okay, I see what's going on there.
Yeah.
I think the 20th century was like the huge jumping off point for culture at large. We really started to see people not just accepting it, but embracing it. And on the 21st century, it's like, that's why we have such a vibrant Pride Month. Because everyone does want to celebrate it. And it went from being a thing, I think, where a lot of, you know, people who are straight or cis or whatever went from being like, oh, okay, I accept this, to being like, no, I want to be a part of this. Like, I want to celebrate this.
Yeah.
In terms of art and artists, I mean, There's so many examples. I wouldn't even know where to start.
Yeah.
But I just think it's, I think queerness has always been in the arts, and it's been a driver, not just a, not just like something like an undercurrent. I think it's the thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, we owe so much of what we love and what we enjoy to queerness.
Yeah.
So agree with that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
And I mean, you two are obviously inspired, and you know, when you're talking about spaces and just making people feel comfortable, there isn't like this divide of, there isn't just one side and this side. There isn't there aren't just two genders. There aren't just like, however you feel, you can be in these spaces.
Yeah, it's tough because it's like, I feel like as a society, we, and as queer people, we see it as sometimes two different sides, like, oh, that's the queer area, and this is the straight bars, and this is the queer bars. That's what I'm intentionally trying to kind of break a little bit and show queer people, too. Like, I think that there's problems on that side as well with just the exclusivity of it. Mm-hmm. So it's just, but we understand why, you know, as far as, like, why that is, and, like, those spaces are needed. But I just want people to know that there is another way too, like a third option, which is everyone, like a middle ground of like, this is queer heavy or queer leaning, but like everyone is welcome. And that's, I think, just the way to operate, where it's like no exclusivity and just kind of, and just enjoy people and humans.
Yeah. Leighton was so agreeing to that.
Cell he
almost
ring.
Picked up his fan, like totally agreeing with that.
Period.
Yes, honey. No, I couldn't agree more. And I mean, sometimes we have to think about this, right? I so love what you said initially, that I wrote something earlier and I want to read it. It says, you cannot separate the art from the artists, and you cannot separate pop culture from the queer community that shaped it, right? When I think about pop culture and the queer community, it's so much intersectionality, and that's what you were talking about.
Yeah.
And so when you think about that, think about the makeup artists, the dancers, the backup dancers, the stylists, right? The people that are behind the scenes on the team, those people directly influence these artists in their day-to-day, right? Yes. While they're on stage making the product. And so I think that's an important part of the conversation that we tend not to have, because those are people in the shadows oftentimes. And like when, for more direct examples, Vogue with Madonna. Madonna, that is that. Like direct influence, because she couldn't have told that story without the culture. Another example in most recent times, Beyonce Renaissance. She could not, and I wrote something about that as well. It says, Beyonce's Renaissance was not inspired by Black queer culture. It was Black queer culture. She just had the platform to promote it. Or amplify it, you know? And so I think that's an important part of this conversation that we have to hold. And like you said, sometimes there are times where there's barriers within the community. So LGBTQ, those are separate letters. We have them together, and oftentimes some of those groups feel seldom, right? And sometimes the gays don't necessarily appreciate what the trans community is going through or help them in their stride. But again, babe, pride started as a riot. We all had to do this together. So we cannot leave any one of them behind.
Listen, and that, I don't even need to be here.
And that's literally the reason why this is called Pridecella Unite and Celebrate.
Do you hold that up?
Yeah.
You know, I just want to draw attention to this beautiful poster.
Yes, shout out to Lou Garbage. We love Lou. She's a Sober 1-6 designer.
Pridecella.
Yes.
Saturday night.
We have 7 drag headliners. We have a DJ, we have vendors, pride organizations, we have a photo op, we have a bracelet making station, we have go-go dancers.
When is it?
Saturday.
This Saturday.
Yes, June 6th, Electric City. But yeah, that is exactly my point of like what I'm trying to do as well. Is like, I wrote a speech for Pridecella that I like almost teared up, but I was like, oh my gosh, just like showing the growth and what's been going on. And I say, like, just because I might be the face of Sober 1-6, but this doesn't exist without all of these people. And my inspirations, which are my friends, you know, and their experiences. And I take inspiration from them, what they like, what they do. And I want to make this like an actual community of just humans that inspire me to just like put out positivity and try to like unite people instead of just coming from a place of negativity or a place of like fighting always.
Yeah.
You know, there is room for fighting, of course, in certain things.
And that's what they're going to do.
Yeah. You know, we're not going to back down from things, but no, but yeah, it's just a really just a celebration of like community and humans.
Well, and all of this doesn't happen in a vacuum. I know, Leighton, you were talking about, you mentioned a couple artists, and I know Donnie has brought up similar artists in all different conversations, those iconic artists, but there is influence in a lot of ways, you know, music, fashion, dance. How many conversations have we had about fashion around Madonna and even Bowie and, you know, the cultural impact, the whole picture? So, you know, when you see these artists and hear these artists, what is a draw and what makes you feel welcome?
That's a good question. Yeah. I think that's like similar to a space. Mm-hmm. What makes a space welcoming to me is like sometimes those little cues of in here, like group chat, right? I feel like this is very appropriate for, and welcoming to me because I see all the different colors, right? And so I think of... I think of people like spaces. And so do you have someone around you that is a part of the LGBTQ plus community? Do you speak with that? Do you consider he, him, they, them? Do you consider my pronouns in how you speak, right? Are you intentional in that capacity?
Yes. Like, are you just listening? Because sometimes you're having a conversation with somebody and it's just a one way. And I, that is, to me, the first impression is if you're having a conversation and I can sit and listen and then talk, and then you listen, and then we just go back and forth, and it's, you can get someone's vibe by that. And it's the same thing with a space. I feel like you walk in, you see the colors, you see, you know, just people smiling, you just, you see, and it also does come from like top down. So like whoever the company, business, organization is, the top is who that company is as a person. So that's why it's like important for me, and I know for you, just to like whenever we're doing something is to showcase our personality in it and showcase our intentions. And that is what I kind of consider a safe space or not, is like who that top person is and what their personality is like.
I was going to say, I think in art, when you're looking at an artist and you see, you know, I think you're looking for this thing that it's almost like a conversation. And when you can see somebody who you're almost looking at their art or who they are and how they represent, and it's like looking in a mirror or feeling like they truly see you. And I think that is how so many artists have created ripple effects to fans and to culture in a greater way by saying, okay, this is who I am, or I see you. So it's either you looking in the mirror or the mirror looking back at you, and you can see yourself sort of being reflected in that art. And that's, I love that. And I love that about queer culture, how it does that.
And I think,
I think
too, like authentic, like true authenticity breeds change too. Is because like I'm wearing these boots because like Ariana Grande inspired me to like, she felt comfortable. Shout out. but yeah, no. So just like very much like if I view somebody or an organization and I just feel it's a feeling, you feel like they're authentic in what they're saying and what they represent. I think that that allows people to do that for themselves internally. And that's the ripple effect, I think, too, is just, and being inspired by someone else's just being themselves.
Intentionality, you know? It's important.
Intention, authenticity, it's the whole thing.
So I want to talk more about that, and I want to talk actually about what Leighton mentioned, and both of you have mentioned about supporting businesses, because I do want to mention, we have to talk about Donnie booking Chapel Roan here before she blew up. So we're going to talk a little bit about that coming up. And then we're going to add another person to the chat. One of my favorite DJs in Buffalo, Travis Twin, you know her as, also T, if you're friends with her. So we'll call her T, because, we're on a friend level here on group chat. So T will be joining us, Leighton, I know you might have to leave the chat for a minute, but we're all still going to chat afterwards, I know, on the side, because beautiful relationships come out of group chat, don't they, Charles?
Yes, like they do.
We've had some collaborations that have happened, so.
They do. And before we do go, I must say, because it will not be right, Naila is in the chat. She sent us her love. She says she misses us. She says, Donnie, let's go. Let's go, Pride.
Oh,
that's
Pride.
Right, Leighton. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Donnie wore special Jordans for Naila.
So, Naila, we miss you, and we'll be back.
We love you. Bye.
Love you.
Why do so many people turn to Buffalo Toronto Public Media? It's because we bring you more than just TV and radio. We deliver trusted news, inspiring performances, and programs for the whole family. From Nova and Frontline to BTPM NPR's local news and music sessions from BTPM Classical and BTPM The Bridge. Public Media connects you to the stories, music, and moments that matter. Explore more at btpm.org. This is Public Media.
Welcome back to the chat. I'm Bentley. Donnie is co-hosting today. You know, Donnie Kutzbach, we've had him on previous episodes, and he's in the power seat today. co-owner of Town Ballroom, Funtime Presents, and also involved in Outer Harbor Live. Andy Crum, Mr. Mocktail, is still here with us. Also owner of Sober 16. Listen, it's so automatic that I say
that. Hey, it'll happen.
And Andy also made us these delicious mocktails that we're sipping on. Nice. We're welcoming to the chat, I'm very excited, DJ Travis Twin, otherwise known to friends as T. Yeah. So we're going to be calling
great.
You T because you
T's
are a friend
fine.
In the chat. So T, I know you have a lot of stuff going on this weekend, but you're also always DJing out and about.
Yes, a lot.
If no one has heard your mixes or heard your music or seen you out, which they may have and just not realize, yeah. people get when they're out.
Yep.
So can you kind of explain your approach in music and entertaining?
So I guess, like, depending on where I'm at, like, say I'm at Good Bar, it's more like open format, you know? But, like, my favorite thing to mix is house music, like, just because it's this amazing genre and, you know, black people, queer people, all like the whole house mecca is just, I love it. And I also DJ for my rapper friend Gaines as well, who's a really, really great rapper in Buffalo, by the way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say more like I'm more of a house DJ, but typically more open format. So I'm just like transitioning whatever people are going with. I'm going to stay with that genre, but you know, I don't know. Lately, music's been changing. So a lot more house is acceptable, I feel. I don't know. I feel like a lot of people, even like Drake, as much as I don't like to talk about this, but
like, you
know, the house, you know, 4x4, that method is going into a lot of music because you can't help but to dance to that. So whatever that, house is really my thing though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when you DJ for Gaines, what does that look like?
It's more like very underground East Coast rap. I wouldn't say like boom bap, but he's a great lyricist. So, it's just like very, I would say underground hip hop, more in like, really attached with like, Griselda people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Mm. So how did you start on the DJ path?
Honestly, like I grew up in like the queer community. My mom is queer. So, I've been going to Pride since I was, like, 5 years old. Like, I'm very used to, like, also my parents. Both my parents are very, like, I'll listen to Phil Collins one day and run DMC the next day, you know? Or even, like, my dad loves you too. You know what I'm saying? Like, just, like, so I've, like, grew up listening to music, like, all genres of music all my life. But I, like, I don't know, one day I was, because I came to Buffalo for college basketball, and like one day I was just like with a friend, I'm like, you know what, we should like DJ. And the first, like my first like group was called Entourage.
I love it.
Yeah, and it was like me and my homie Josie, who lives in West Virginia, but we were just like, maybe we should just, you know, LimeWire was still a thing, unfortunately. Yeah. So we were just like, you know, like, but like it started with that and like pretty much self-taught. And then To be quite honest, like, my first gig here was Porch Fest. My friend Michelle let me DJ my first gig on her porch. And then Good Bar was my first big, like, bigger venue. Mm-hmm. And then it was only, honestly, it's just good to know people, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I just love music so much. It's really, honestly, it kind of just came to me.
Yeah.
And, like, and then I just stuck with it.
Followed the feeling, mm-hmm. the vibe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Makes sense because you're so natural.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. I can not live without food and music. I feel like most people can't, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And Andy, you know T.
Yeah, being out, good bar. Yep.
Community.
Yeah.
T, you said you came here for basketball?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so did you play at UB?
I played at Madai, RIP.
Oh, nice. But yeah, okay.
We actually were very good. We went to NCAAs like 2 out of my 4 years.
Oh, wow. Great.
Yeah. We were like ranked in the nation one time. Those are like, those days are long gone. Like, I'm washed. Washed basketball player. Like, can't. Yeah. And I'm not hooping anymore.
So I can't call you to do pickup if I need
anything. Maybe. It won't like, I'll probably get up like 1-4 times without like, easy. Yeah, we'll see. My knees don't work like they used to. You know?
We're not going to ask T what professional team.
Oh, yeah. No, 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 no.
Yeah. It's already tricky coming in with a Cowboys hat on. We're going to allow it.
I'm a controversial sports person. Like, I root for two of the most terrible teams, like, according to everyone. Yeah. Like, I'm Cowboys and Celtics fan. But.
Oh, my
God. Yeah. Like, Charles is like, I wanted to like you. Yeah. Yeah.
Congrats, Nick. Oh,
I love the tension.
I know that took a lot for her
sports
to
does
say
this.
That.
Yeah.
I'm really happy for certain people that are actually Knicks fans, but most people in New York State are not Knicks fans, so you can all freak off. Like, whatever. Whatever.
Listen, hot take. Yeah. So, Donnie, who I feel like in your in booking bands and doing acts in Buffalo, you've stepped out on people because, you know, because of talent and things you've seen. And then, you know, those artists end up getting bigger or they play the club and maybe then they're at a stadium. Mm-hmm. But one of my favorite stories is when you had Chapel Roan booked for Town Ballroom and then had to move her.
Yeah.
But you booked her before all the hype.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, we knew that she was going that way. She'd been on tour with Olivia Rodrigo, and she was there was a lot going on with her early singles online, and they were aware that she was, you know, kind of in this ascendance that you see. And it's harder to know unless you're really, I hate to be like this, but like there's people pulling the strings in the background.
Yeah.
And we don't really know what's going on in the algorithm. We just know we see the stuff that generally we're going to like, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, but it felt like that was one of those moments where it was the zeitgeist and they knew that Chapel was doing a thing. So, yeah, when she was going to play Town Ballroom, it was booked. It sold out like immediately.
Yeah.
But like I'd always had it in my back pocket. We're opening up the Outer Harbor. So we could always move and it could be like the first show we do there and it'd be really fun. And it was, and then we moved it a couple weeks later and it sold out within days. It sold, you know, 5 times more tickets and it was sold out again. And it was like one of those things where it felt so validating, not just for the fact that it was a huge success and it was an artist on the rise and to have somebody, you know, a month later, she's playing to the biggest crowd that's ever played at Lollapalooza. And that meant a lot. But when I saw the crowd come out and I saw everybody dressed for the event and seeing how, you know, how much she meant to these people, even just as a rising star, and on her way and saying all the right things and so many jams that it was great. And I also go back to thinking right at coming out of COVID and we were talking a lot during COVID, you and I about like, what are we going to do? What's going to happen? The first show I think I did at Town Ballroom out of COVID, was, Orville Peck. I'm sorry.
Yes, it was Orville Peck. Yes.
Orville Peck.
Yeah.
Love him.
And thinking about that too, and it was like it was the same way. It was the same sort of thing where I was thinking, and it sold out. And it was a thing like, okay, we're coming back to the world again, and seeing the community that came out to see Orville Peck, and it was like, wow, and an incredible show, and just an absolute star. When you see him on stage, it's wild. Yeah.
So events are a great way to support and just feel the energy and being around people and being open and welcoming. So, yeah, Pride Chella coming up.
Yes.
Saturday.
City.
Okay.
It's going to be wild.
Are there still tickets available?
Absolutely. Yep. Okay. We have over 300 people already coming to the event. So, yeah. So excited. It's our biggest show we've ever done.
Yeah.
My designer just finished up all the visuals for the event. We have a storyline. It's going to be very, very fun. And yeah. It's just a, like I said, pure celebration of just connection, different types of art, the queer community, and just people.
And you're just coming off an event for Heated Rivalry in New York City.
Yes. The crazy things are happening. The universe is like really great. So I got contacted by an agency that works with HBO Max to do a curated.
So cool.
Yeah. I was like, I just random email. They Googled mocktails and found me. So I was like, great job on the marketing, Google Analytics. Thank you. And then, they wanted to curate. I know, right? Thank you, Google, for this. I curated a ginger ale mocktail bar.
I'm a big, and I do, I don't know if we're allowed to shout out brands here, but I do love that you choose Canada Dry. Do you still have the, did you get your nails done since you got the Canada Dry on there?
Yeah. Yes. So real shout out to Rue Nail Studio, Sophia. absolutely. But yeah, no, we did a Heated Rivalry nail set. And just went all out. I sported a Sabres jersey with my boots, of course.
Yes. Yeah.
And so many people were like, go Sabres. Like, even people that never been to Buffalo were like rooting for the Sabres. So the fandom spans beyond Buffalo, which is great. And Buffalo Sabres are actually a sponsor of Pridechella.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I did not know that. That's awesome. That's amazing. Yeah. All right. Looking forward to that. And then, T, how can... If nobody's ever seen you before, how can everyone find you?
So my Instagram is Travis Twin, TRAV1S, and then TW1N. So Travis Twin, the I's in the Travis and Twin are ones. That makes sense.
Yeah, we'll make sure we put that in the
And then every second Saturday of the month, I DJ at Good Bar downstairs. That's a good time. This Saturday, or this Sunday for Pride, I was going to take the Sunday off, but Amanda from 26 hit me up, that lovely lady. And I will be spinning at 26 from 6 to 9, which is perfect time. Then you can go home. You know, it's not too late.
I'm really
pumped about that.
That's my time.
So from 6 to 9,
that's
we're good.
Prime time.
I also bartend at Coulter Bay. Come through. I do a lot.
Yeah.
Listen, you're in a room with a lot of
overachievers
right now.
Especially in this economy. You know?
Hustle culture is alive.
Yeah, it really is.
Hey, that's a tease into our next episode.
Right? Yeah.
Where we're...
We love that.
Recession indicators. We're talking about next week. So, thank you for joining us today on Group Chat. I would love to thank all of my beautiful guests here. And thank you, Donnie, for stepping in to host. We're going to have you around for
a couple Jordans
of episodes.
Big Jordans to fill.
Thank you to Andy Crum, Mr. Mocktail, also Leighton Jones and DJ Travis Twin. Thank you for joining us. And your closing notes there, Charles?
Make sure, because listen, y'all were on one today in the chat. Y'all were going crazy. So make sure, for everyone that's in the chat, make sure that you like, comment, and I hope that you have subscribed to this channel. So thank you all for the love. We honestly appreciate it.
Go Group Chat! Yay. Happy Pride!
Happy Pride!
Happy Pride!
The fans.
Oh, fans, yes.
I can't.
Also, yay.
We'll teach you.
We'll be back next week.
Yay.